And in verse 24, and Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord, the king. But my lord, the king, is an angel of God. Do therefore what is right in thine eyes. For all of my father's houses were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of these matters, or of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take off. For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your mercies and your grace. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessings of these faithful men that came this past week in the preaching of your holy word, that you've not left us to our shell, to know that there are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal, but there are men out there that preach your holy truth, and we're so thankful for that, Heavenly Father. And so, God, we pray that this morning again you would refresh our hearts, that you remind us of what is our Christian duty, what is the essence of our Christian walk, what we must as Christians do as calling upon the name of our God. And so, Lord, meet our needs this morning. Teach us from your holy word. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our shortcomings. Get our hearts right with you. Burn within a heart a zeal for thee, O God. Let us be as those two that walk on the road to Emmaus, and they would say, did not our hearts burn within us? God, we pray that you would burn in our hearts as we seek to communicate with thee. Bless, let thy spirit come forth and speak to those that are in Christ, that they might be built up in the most holy faith, and if need be, reproved by your word, O God. And then, of course, those outside Christ, that this morning, that they would come and follow thee. How often we read in the scriptures, O Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ went at the beginning of his ministry, and he would just tell man as he would walk by, come, follow me. Oh, to God, that this morning, that some would come and follow our Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of salvation. And we know that only you can wrought such a work. And so we pray that you do this. Oh, Heavenly Father, meet with us this morning. Let thy presence be felt. Give us grace to preach. Give us grace to receive your holy word. We want to hear, as it were, a sound from heaven. And let us go into thy tabernacles. Let us worship at your footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy people be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. For we ask it for your blessed and holy name. Amen. Please be seated. We return to our studies on always loving the King. Always loving the King. And we will go back to Isaiah 53. I cannot wait to get back to Isaiah 53. I've enjoyed Isaiah 53, but I must admit that I have been enjoying the series and always loving the King. If nobody's got anything out of it, I have. The Lord has convicted my heart, made me realize how perhaps I love myself more than what I love Him. Perhaps how did I love my family more than I love Him. Perhaps maybe I love the church more than I love Him. And He has shown me the importance of putting Him first in my life. And it's amazing the messages that were preached by these men that came. How many of them challenged you to follow God? I was blown away with the message by John Green. He had no clue what I'd been preaching. As a matter of fact, I felt that he snuck into my notes He took part of one of my sermons because that's what I was going to preach. One of the examples I was going to use was of Caleb. Because I love what it says about Caleb, that he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Why? Because he had another spirit within him and he followed him. I mean, what glorious words are those that speak of a Caleb at age 40 having such a zeal, such a passion, and at age 85 or age 80 again, having the same strength, having the same passion later on. Nothing had changed in his heart in those 40 years. You have to remember, what did Caleb see in those 40 years? Multitudes that died, that perished in the wilderness of sin. And he was given so many reasons to cast in the towel, to say, this is ridiculous. Lord, we're going in a circle for 40 years. We're just going in a circle. People are dying. People are complaining. People are murmuring. What's going on? No. He followed the Lord fully. You know why? Because there was another spirit in him. And if anything Caleb knew, it was that he was always going to love his king. He was going to love his God no matter what happened. No matter what Joshua did or what anybody else did. He said, I will follow the king. And what glorious words are written of Caleb. Caleb did not write this himself. It was written of him by God as he moved Joshua, yea, a twofold witness. In the mouth of two witnesses, this testimony is given. For even Moses also wrote in Deuteronomy 1:36 and in Numbers 11:24, or Numbers 11:14, in Numbers 11, that he wrote, along with Joshua, two witnesses, that this man Caleb followed the Lord wholly. What will be said about you? What shall be said about me when I die? What a glorious epitaph to be written of us. He followed the Lord wholly. And we live in no different times than which Caleb lived, in political turmoil, in economical turmoil, in all kinds of perverseness and depravity. It's no different. But he what? He followed the Lord wholly. Why? Because he had settled in his heart that he was always going to love his king. Always loving the king. Well, we saw in our first point, loving the king with a fixed affection. That is, loving our Lord Jesus Christ, loving our God, loving him with passion, with devotion. And I love in this story, it doesn't say that David came to see Mephibosheth. No, twice it says. And I beg to remind you, my dear brethren, this was not some healthy man. This was not some person that had big, great muscles and run sprints and was in great shape. We're talking about a layman. He couldn't even walk. Anywhere he went, he depended on others to get him prepared and ready. But when he heard that King David was coming, what did he do? Did he just sit around and use the excuse, well, King David, I couldn't go to see you, but you got to see my feet are lame, and this is how we sound before God. Well, Lord, I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. Well, because, and we give God all these excuses of why we did not do what we should have done. There's again, I mentioned this one night, and that is the aspect that sometimes we get so consumed with the sins of commission, and we should, sins we commit. But oh, to God that we would guard our hearts just as faithfully, just as fervently regarding the sins of omission. That is, not doing what we ought to do. That so sin is set forth, a sins of commission and sins of omission. And so here was, if anybody had an excuse, it would be Mephibosheth. But because he loved his king, he had no excuses. I love again what it says in verse 24, it says, and Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. Verse 25, and it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king. And so it was Mephibosheth that took the initiative to go meet the king. This is loving the king with a fixed affection, with a fixed passion, with a devotion in his heart. But then we also spoke on loving the king with a fixed allegiance. With a fixed allegiance. I mean, having a pledge, giving ourselves dedicated to the king. And this is where we find Mephibosheth. I believe there are things that are shown in our text that prove to us that Mephibosheth had a fixed allegiance to King David. Had a fixed allegiance regardless of the cost. He was dedicated. He pledged himself to follow the Lord. We set forth before you three things in particular that prove his allegiance to David. And that is, number one, he forsook himself. Number two, he forgot himself. And then thirdly, he followed the king. That's how we know he had an allegiance to his king. That's how I know he was dedicated. That's how I know he had pledged himself, committed himself to always loving the king. Because he had that fixed allegiance. You know, when we were little, we used to. I remember my first 6 years in elementary school, we would always start out the day standing at attention at the flag. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, and go so forth and so forth. Oh, to God, that will pledge allegiance to our God. They would pledge allegiance to this book, the Bible that you hold in your hand. I pledge allegiance to you, God. I pledge allegiance to your word. I pledge to follow you. I give you my commitment. I want to be dedicated to you, oh God. Loving the king with a fixed allegiance, devotion. And we can see that he forsook himself. How do we know this? Well, look at his apparel. I mean, poor guy. I mean, as he went down to meet the king in verse 24, he neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came back in peace. And you notice that in verse 24, verse 30, the story ends the same way. Until the king has come again in peace. This story, for some reason, God allowed it to end abruptly. It just ends at verse 30. And there's a sense, I'm getting ahead of myself, there's a sense that leaves you hanging with what happened. Well, I know what happened. We're going to deal with that in my last message. And I'm going to prove to you that David believed Mephibosheth. And I'm going to prove it and show it to you. And I might have already done that. I don't know if I did that or not. But I'm going to prove to you that he was more interested in David than he was in Mephibosheth. Because he understood this one principle that we must learn as Christians. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. And until we get through that first hurdle, we're going to struggle in our Christian walk. We're going to have problems in our Christian walk because we want to do everything that is for us. What's right for me? What's good for me? How can I do something to my flesh to please it? We're all concerned about me, myself, and I. Instead of saying, as Paul would say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Understanding it's not about us, it's about him. And I believe we see this in the life of Mephibosheth. He forsook himself in his apparel, and he forgot himself in his answer. Sure, he gave David the aspect of the answer of what Ziba had done to him and lied and deceived, backstabbed him and all those things. But don't you love what it says there? He says in the middle of verse 27, do therefore what is good in thine eyes. It doesn't make a difference that Ziba backstabbed me. It doesn't make a difference what happened to me. It's about you, my dear Lord. So King David, you do what is right in your eyes. No, not what's right in my eyes. Not what's right in my heart. but he do that which is right in your eyes. And that's how I know that he forsook himself. And not only, as we said, forsook himself, he forgot himself. He forgot himself. Totally, completely. And again, telling David, do that. Do therefore what is good in your eyes. Whatever you need to do, David, do that which is right in your own eyes. And so, in his allegiance to David, we've seen Mephibosheth forsook himself. We see that Mephibosheth forgot himself. But then thirdly, Mephibosheth followed David. Mephibosheth followed David. So we have seen how he forsook himself in his apparel. And we can see how Mephibosheth forgot himself in his answer to David. Again, in other words, it was not about Mephibosheth. It was all about the king. But then we see in his action how he followed the king with that fixed allegiance, with that pledge, with that determination. You see, these three important things that Mephibosheth did in forgetting himself, forsaking himself, and following David. Those three things that Mephibosheth did, we as Christians must also do. Yea, we are called to do those things. We are instructed to do those things. We are commanded to do these things. This, my dear brethren, I want everybody to look up here. This, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, though it is a simple instruction, it is no controversial, there's no spiritualization of this, like, wow, or, man, how deep is this or that, you know, go into, you know, Revelation, and we wondered, you know, the four horses, what do they mean, the beast, the Antichrist, or the ten toes of Daniel, and we go, wow, you know, those kind of, we think are deep things, and we go, nah, no, this is simplicity, very, very simple. There is no controversial. You don't need a theological degree. You don't need to go to Bible college or some seminary to be able to, oh, I understand now what Pastor Joe was preaching about, because now I, oh, no. This is very, very simple. Because this simple application is a principle founded upon the blessed rock, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so these three important things that Mephibosheth did, we as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are also called to do these things. And this is, as I said, perhaps the hardest. This is the hardest part, brother. Let me tell you. This is the hardest part about being a Christian. But nonetheless, not only is it the hardest part, but it is the most important part about being a Christian. Not only is it hard, but oh, it is very, very, very important. Important aspect of our Christian walk. Why? Real simple. Because it's not in what we say, it's in what we do. What we do. Our Lord Jesus Christ so clearly and succinctly instructs us. He instructed us, on the essence of true Christianity. I'm going to make some statements, and I do not want to offend anybody. Nor do I want to quench your zeal for God. I'm just making a point here. And I'm sure it's going to create
questions in your mind, and that's fine and dandy. We all need to cross that bridge at some point in our Christian life. But again, this issue that I'm talking about is the hardest thing to do, yea, the most important thing to do. And the Lord Jesus Christ instructed us on the essence of plain, simple, but yet true Christianity. It's not in what we say, it's in what we do. In other words, it's not in the wearing, it's in the walk. It's not in what you wear, it's in what you walk. Now, I'm going to qualify the word wear, because we are to be dressed modestly. I'm not talking about wearing clothes, okay? So I just want to qualify that term. And I say it's not about wearing, it's about your walk. It's not. Christianity is not about wearing a cross. Christianity is not about wearing a dove. Christianity is not about wearing a dove. Christianity is not about having all kinds of religious stickers on a car. It's not about wearing a cross. It's not about having 20 crosses in our house. It's not, that's not what Christianity is about. These are but superficial things. They're very superficial things. Christianity is doing what Christ commanded us to do. He tells us, in the Gospel of John, he says, if you love me, he says, keep my commandments. Now, how simple is that? That's easy to even memorize. If you love me, keep my commandments. Is that hard? I think any first grader should understand the principle involved in this. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's that simple. Well, how hard is it, huh? He continues. 8 verses later, he says, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You can find that in John 14. Don't go right now. Remember when the Lord was dealing in the Sermon on the Mount? This is how he ended the greatest sermon that was preached on the Sermon on the Mount by Christ. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, hearing and doing, hearing and doing, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. You want to be known as a wise man? Hear and do. I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The rains came, the floods came, the winds blew, they beat upon the house, and it fell not. Why? Because it was founded upon a rock. That's simple to understand. What's the opposite of this? And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, he says the same thing, and doeth them not. That's the essence. Whosoever heareth my sayings and doeth them, whosoever heareth my sayings and doeth them not. We don't have to be an engineer to understand what Christ is saying here. In another place, he would say, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Christ got right to the point. He didn't mince words. He knew what he wanted to communicate to us. And the rains descended again. Everyone that hear these sayings of mine and doing them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew, beat upon that house, and it fell. Great was the fall of it. One's going to stand, one's going to fall. One's on the rock, one's on the sand. Christ is interested in our doing, not in what we wear. Okay? It does not make a difference what you wear regarding religious symbols. And again, I don't want to quench anybody's zeal. But do understand this, Christianity is what we do for God, not what we wear as religious symbols. That, what we do for the glory of God, is what's important. Not displaying all kinds of religious symbols. I remember, now I want you to know this, I remember many, many years ago, when these things were very important to me. Very, very important. And for many years, I did wear Jerry Falwell's, if anybody remembers that, I'd probably remember that, Brother Ron, Jerry Falwell's Jesus First pin. I wore that for many years. Wore the lapel pin on my shirt, on my hat. And all it was, it had the name Jesus. It was like a cross. And then the middle section was first. It was Jesus First. And I wore that for many, many, many years. I wanted to be a testimony. And then I put stickers on my car. I mean, that became instant. And I remember even my boss telling me he would fire me if I didn't take that lapel pin off my hat or off my shirt. Because people were complaining about that. But as I grew in Christ, I learned that these were just superficial religious symbols. They were not concrete evidences of my Christian walk. That's when it finally hit me to realize that those symbols, they're just an outward, superficial aspect. But they were not evidences of my Christian walk. Because I started to notice something very interesting. When it, isn't that commercial? You know, it hit me. I started noticing that the lost, as well as the professing Christians, wore these symbols. Talk about being thrown into such confusion. The lost, they wore the crosses, they wore the fishes, they wore the doves, they wore everything under the sun. They love wearing religious symbols. I started to realize that everybody who displayed these symbols were not Christians. I was very, very confused. As a matter of fact, even before my conversion, and then the Lord started bringing that to memory, I remember going to rock concerts and I remember seeing Black Sabbath on numerous occasions. And all four of them had big, giant crosses. Went to go see Earth, Wind, and Fire. Not only were they all wearing crosses, but they were displaying crosses all over the place. And so I started seeing things, and the Lord brought remembrance to some things, and I said, something's not right. And so I saw people whether lost or saved wearing these symbols. And then what the Lord showed me in the scriptures basically settled in my heart. Questions I had, confusion that I had. And if you want to know what verses the Lord used, I'll tell you later on. That's not my message. I'm just sharing these things from my heart. You can ask me after the services and I'll tell you easily. Because the last thing I want to do, I don't want to quench anybody's zeal. Okay? See, what I don't want you to do is run out of here today and say, I can't wear any crosses because Pastor Joe said I can't wear any crosses. If you wear crosses, it does not offend me one bit. Okay? That's between you and God. What I would want to hear is, and I say this carefully, and only God can do this, not me. I don't want to hear, I don't wear religious symbols because Pastor Joe said so. I get tired of people telling me, because my pastor said so, my pastor. No, 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 no. If God puts it in your heart and God convicts you, that's when you do it. Not because I said something, but because God dealt with your heart. That you can say freely, as I say freely, I don't wear those because I have a conviction in my heart not to wear that. And I'm sure many of you, when you first came into this auditorium, you looked around and said, you know what? You know what's so strange? There's no crosses there. I don't see a fish. I don't see a dove. I don't even see pictures of Jesus. Well, I thought this was a church. Well, that is a church. My whole argument is those are but superficial religious symbols. Jesus Christ is not interested in what you wear. Jesus Christ is interested in what and how you walk. And this is the principle of Mephibosheth that he followed, that Christ commands us to follow. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if any man come after me, let him, number one, deny himself, let him take up the cross, let him follow me. That is what Christ will for you. All these other things are just superficial and secondary. He wants you to deny yourself. He wants you to take up his cross, not your cross. His cross. You know, sometimes we reap what we sow. I want to use an example, but I don't want to offend people. This is the only thing I don't like about a small church. You want to use an example? Use an example. I'm going to say, oh, I know who he's talking about. I'm not even talking about that person. I'm not going to use the example now. But at times I wish I could use the example. No, no, I'm not. And people go to the extreme and says, oh, I have this cross, and then I just, you're not carrying a cross, you're reaping what you have sown. You chose to do that, you chose to do this, you are reaping what you have sown. That's not taking up a cross. There's two distinct differences in that. Again, denying self, taking up his cross, and follow him. Mephibosheth forsook himself. Mephibosheth denied himself. You can see it in his apparel. He didn't shave. He didn't wash his clothes. He didn't change. He didn't do anything until the day David came back. Now, please, don't come next week without taking a bath or shaving for 7 weeks and saying you have a great deal for God. That's not what I'm trying to imply here. But with Mephibosheth, it was different. He forgot himself. He denied himself. Secondly, he forsook himself. He took off the cross. David, do that which is right in your eyes. And even continued by saying, well, David, you even blessed me. You even gave me the blessing of sitting at your table. What right do I have to even complain before you anymore? That's taking off his cross. And then, my third point that I'm speaking of. He followed David. How do I know now? Because when he heard David was coming, he went down. He followed David. He was more excited about David than anything else. And that is proof in my last point, have any fixed adoration for a king. Because Mephibosheth had a fixed adoration for his king. He was consumed with King David.
And time's expired.
Let me just share some quotes and I'll be done. And we'll pick up our last point, loving the king with a fixed adoration. You know, loving him with pure delight. Loving him with pleasure. Having passion for Christ. I'm sure many of you adored your Longhorns yesterday, huh? Some of you might adore your Cowboys today, and I might adore my Redskins today. But oh, to God, that we would adore God more. That zeal, that passion that we have for our teams, oh, to God, that that would translate to our Christian walk. That excitement of adoring our King. We'll save God for next week. But again, Mephibosheth, first, he denied himself by forsaking himself, his apparel. Secondly, he took up the cross by forgetting himself. That was in his answer. Thirdly, he followed King David as we are to follow King Jesus. And that is in his acknowledgement of what he told David at the very, very end. So Mephibosheth's fixed allegiance, passion, love, devotion is seen in what? In denying himself, taking up the cross to follow his king. And the best way to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind is to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him supremely. A.W. Pink. He always has something to say. I was talking with an old pastor that was sitting at the table with us. And something that one of the speakers said, and he said, "Have you ever heard of A.W. Tozer?" I said, "Yes, I got some of his books." "Well, he's the one that, you know, started our church," or what I said. I said, "Really?" And so I turned around and I said, "My dear sir, you're an elderly man. I mean, he's probably in his 70s. I said, "Have you ever heard of A.W. Pink?" "I got an A.W. too. You got A.W. Tozer. I got A.W. Pink." "No, he didn't start my church, but oh, my man. Oh, my, my. You never go away from reading Pink without being dealt in your heart with." Whew, he deals with the heart. That brother, he just brings down the gavel. He smacks your toes hard. I love Pink. I love Pink. I don't agree with everything Pink says, but I'm intelligent enough to love him. Pink says, "Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will..." The word "will" here means to desire. To desire. Just as in that verse when it says, "If any man will live godly," it signifies determination. It signifies determined to. "If any man will or desires to come after me, let him deny himself first and take up his cross." Not a cross, but his cross. "And follow me." And then in another place, Luke 14:27, Christ declared, "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." That's powerful. First he tells you, you must do this, and if you don't do that, he says, you're not worthy of being my disciple. See, that's where do you cast your allegiance? So, he says, it's not optional. It's not optional. The Christian life is far more than subscribing to a system of truth or adopting a code of conduct or submitting to some religious ordinances. Preeminently, the Christian life is a person, an evidence of personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And just in proportion as your life is lived in communion with Christ, to that extent are you living the Christian life, and to that extent only. Pow! That's tough. But he's right. When a man is right, you just object and bow your head. Right. Right. The Longhorns were better yesterday. I submitted. I subjected it. Say me. The sooner. I. And if somebody's right, bam, you just say it. Why make excuses? Why make excuses? He continues. He says, the Christian life is a life that consists of following Jesus. If any man come after me, let him deny himself first, take up his cross, follow me. Oh, that you and I may gain distinction for the closeness of our walk to Christ. And then shall we be close communionness in these. There is a class described in Scripture of whom it is said, these are they which follow the Lamb whatsoever he goeth. But sad to say, there is another class, a large class, who seem to follow the Lord fitfully, who follow the Lord spasmodically, who follow the Lord half-heartedly, who follow the Lord occasionally, who follow the Lord distantly. There is much of the world and much of self in their life, and so little of Christ. Thrice happy shall be the man who, like Caleb, who follows the Lord fully, unquote. Think doesn't mince words, does he? You want some more from think? I got it. Now, beloved, our chief business and aim is to follow Christ. But there are difficulties in the way. There are obstacles in the path. And it is to them that the first part of our text refers. You notice that the words follow me come at the end. Self stands in the way. Self stands in the way. And the world, which is 10,000 attractions and distractions, is an obstacle. And therefore Christ said, if any man will come after me, first, let him deny himself. Secondly, take up the cross. And thirdly, follow me. And there we learn the reason why so few professing Christians are following him closely, manifestly, and consistently, unquote. But you know what? I can see in the life of Mephibosheth, and I can say, he is following King David. There's no question in my mind, in my heart, that Mephibosheth is following King David. One more quote by him, and I'll be done. The first step toward a daily following of Christ is denying of self. There is a vast difference, brothers and sisters, between denying self and so-called self-denial. There is a vast difference between denying self and so-called self-denial. And amazing, you go to many. Sorry, get off my quote here. Go to the religious bookstore, and there's so many books on self-denial. That's not what Christ is calling us to do. Wow, self-denial is denying self. That's a big difference between denying self and self-denial. Again, he says, the popular idea that obtained both in the world and among Christians is that of giving up such things that we like. I mean, there's a great diversity of opinion as to what should be given up. There are some who would restrict it to that which is characteristically worldly, such as perhaps going to the theater, dancing, going to the racetrack. And there are those who restrict it to certain seasons when amusement and other things are followed during the remainder of the year and richly eschewed at that time. But such methods as for those only foster spiritual pride, and that is so true. For surely, I deserve some credit if I give up so much as so-and-so. My friends, what Christ speaks of in our text, and oh, may the Spirit of God apply it to our hearts and souls this morning, as a step. The first step is following Him. The first step toward following Him. The denial of self, the denial of self itself. Not simply some things that are pleasing to self. Not some things with our self hankers, but the denying of self itself. What does that mean? If any man will come after me and deny himself. It means, in the first place, abandoning his own righteousness. But it means more than that. That is only its first meaning. It means refusing to rest upon my own wisdom. It means far more than that. It means ceasing to insist upon my own rights. It means repudiating self itself. It means ceasing to consider my own efforts, my own comfort, my own ease, my own pleasure, my own aggrandizement, my own benefit. It means being done with self. It means, beloved, same with the Apostle Paul, for me to live is not self, but Christ. For me to live is to obey Christ, to serve Christ, to honor Christ, to spend myself for Christ. That's what it means if any man comes after me and deny himself. Let self be repudiated, be done with. In other words, it is what you have in Romans 12:1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, unquote. I think he gives a clear application and explanation of what this means. You want to love the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, with a fixed affection, with a fixed passion, with a fixed devotion. Well, guess where it starts? You must deny yourself first. You must take up the cross, and then you must follow him wholeheartedly. Again, you want to love the Lord with a fixed allegiance, a fixed devotion. You must deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow him wholeheartedly. There are no shortcuts in Christianity. There is no such thing as instant Christian maturity. You cannot go buy it at a bookshelf or any store. There are no shortcuts in Christianity whatsoever. I don't know where you are this morning, but if you happen to be outside the Lord Jesus Christ, I would admonish you to give him your heart. Give him your heart. Follow him. Give him your life. Do it now. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for some experience? You're expecting some lightning to zap you from heaven or something to happen? Give your heart to him. We heard it said from the pulpit how many times this past week? From Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart. My daughter, give me thine heart. Give your heart to Jesus. Follow him. Follow him. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. And if you are here this morning and you profess to be a Christian, again, I don't know your heart. I don't know what's going on in your soul. But if for some reason you have left your first love, all I tell you is what the Bible says. Come to him in repentance. Come to him confessing your sins. Ask him to forgive him, to forgive you, and he will forgive you. He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins. If any man, if you're in Christ, some sin, some action, whatever, come to him. He's a loving God. He's a forgiving God. Ask him to forgive you and to give you a heart to follow him. Remember, David had to do this. Remember when David said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me. Make me to hear joyness and gladness. Make the bones that thou hast broken, let them rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away in thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Psalm 51. Let us therefore love our King Jesus with a fixed allegiance, a fixed pledge, a fixed dedication to him. My dear friends, where will you cast your lot this morning? Will you cast it with the world or will you cast it with God? May God be pleased to speak to your heart this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning. Thank you for reminding us of that simple, nonetheless, important principle that we must confront our hearts with. And that is, we must deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. Not some theological education, some seminary, Bible college. Those things are good, oh God. But every Christian, the simplest to the most intelligent one, we are all called to follow you by denying ourselves and taking up the cross. Lord, help us to do this. We want to be right with you. We want to serve you with a glad heart. And so, God, we entrust this message in your hands. You deal with the hearts of those that are outside Christ, and you deal with the hearts of those that are in Christ. And so, God, we ask these things in your blessed and most holy name. Amen. Take the clear song supplement and please stand. And we'll sing number 8. Number 8. Again, the Master has come. And He calls us to follow Him. He calls us to follow the tracks of His footprints. And may God help us to do that. Bye-bye. Regarding that which was spoken this morning, anyone?